5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, y'all, it's Tim. I wanted to do something a little more chill today, something a little different. And wanted to hang out with some folks. We could talk about some gay stuff. Yeah, talk a little politics, but talk about how we're keeping our vibes up. So I went and sat out with my pals at the podcast Vibe Check. Sam Sanders and Zach Stafford are the co-host. It's a weekly show produced by SiriusXM. And each week they bring their little text chain to life with their other pal, Saeed Jones. Saeed was out today, so I got to kind of join the group chat. I got to go hang out. Their show covers news, culture, everything else in between. They talk about their feelings. You know how I like feelings talk. So because their show is audio only, we thought we'd bring the video version of it to you guys here. Maybe you can find a new pod that you like, something that's a little bit, you know, less Trump derangement syndrome-y, you know, than what I'm giving you every day here on the YouTube page. So I really hope you enjoy it. I love Sam. I love Zach. They're great guys. And we have a fun chat. So up next is my little guest host slot on Vibe Check. Enjoy.
We usually open up episodes with me saying, hey, ladies, or some variant of that. Fine. But in honor of today's special guest, I'm going to say, who dat hoes?
Who dat hoes?
H-E-A-U-X.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
There you go. I'm Sam Sanders.
And I'm Zach Stafford, and you're listening to Vibe Check, and I'm looking at my screen, and I don't know this man, Sam. Who's this man in front of us?
Tell our listeners who you are.
I'm a little different, Saeed. You know, it's just a little change. My name's Tim Miller. I'm over at the Bulwark, and I don't know. We'll have to figure out what my overlap with of traits are with Saeed over the course of the hour. I'll do my
very the lead. I said you're that host because you're in New Orleans.
I am. I'm a New Orleanian. I'm here. That's where I live. It is great down here. People should come visit. We got Mardi Gras coming up. We got Jazz Fest. So I need it.
Okay.
Yeah. And New Orleans has Tim Miller. So it's so great to have you. For listeners who don't know, Tim Miller is an incredible person. I followed his work for many, many years. And Tim Miller is one of the few MSNBC opinion people that my mom texts me about, being like, how's Tim doing? Is he okay? She one day texts me. She goes, Tim looks tired. I said, Mom, we aren't that close. Like, let's
also
just be
clear. Your mom to be nicer.
No, she's being nice. She was just like, he's on. I forget what happened to him, but you'd been working so much. And she was like, he looks tired. He needs to go rest. Like, she like thinks of you as her child. So anyway,
Tim Miller. Eye cream recommendations for me, you know, because I do. I get them. I get those bags. I get what my mom calls the Uncle Al's, you know. And so when I'm tired, you can see it. I need kind of a new makeup regimen, I think.
You know what's been blessing me at 40?
What's that?
No. Didn't know about its powers till like the last year or two. I slather that stuff on, man.
Okay.
It's wild.
I love it.
All right, I'm taking notes.
Yeah. Well, Tim is here to do a really big Trump episode with us, guys. You know, Trump has been on a rampage of many sorts, and we want to go deep into what it all means, specifically from a gay point of view. So today we'll be diving in first about the normal gays who voted for Trump and why they all believe Trump is the most gay president ever, which I can't wait to talk to Tim about, because I've been around Trump and he has some flamboyant tendencies, but I never thought of him as the most gay president.
He's given
ever.
Queen on the scene all the time.
That
so he should gay. Do drag. He should do drag.
He does
it's
drag.
It's so performative.
He is already doing drag. I mean, have that, you ever seen him without the makeup? He's a completely different person. He's already doing drag. His musical tastes are way gayer than mine. Yeah. I mean, that list that he puts on at his rallies, like it could be like the Marie's Crisis set list.
That's true. Okay,
Marie's Crisis. What's his drag name, Tim?
Oh boy, now you really put me on the spot. I'm not going
to
come up with
Take the
something
whole
different.
episode to think about it. Take
Okay.
your time. Take your time. We'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. But before we come back to that, we're going to talk about the Democrats and where are they? They're definitely not at Trump's drag brunch, you know, if we're thinking of him as a drag queen. They're not showing up to that or doing much there. So we're going to ask Tim, where are they and what should they be doing? And what should we all be doing to deal with the new Trump administration? But before we get into all of that, let's do our typical check-in. So ladies, Tim, our new lady of the court, how you doing? How's life? Are you rested?
Hey, ladies. I'm feeling better now. I don't get to call boys ladies on my YouTube screen.
Why not? Yeah,
I don't know. I should. I do that with all the other boys.
You're wearing pearls. Like, go there.
I know. They're all just giving so het. You know, it's all het bros at the Bulwark besides me. So I love
it. Make them gayer.
My vibe, ladies, is like the closer in my home, it's great. New Orleans, the vibe is great. I already mentioned it. You know, we've got some good stuff coming up that can be a distraction for everything. Once you get outside Orleans Parish, I think the vibe is pretty shaky out there.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I'm doing.
Okay. Say more about that. I'm very curious as to what you experience once you leave the parish.
Well, I just mean that. Look, like I moved here in part because I have a lot of friends here who don't care about politics, and yeah. I mean, who care about it at a basic level that everybody does, who aren't political junkies, I guess is a better way of putting it. You know, they have other interests and I know them from my pre-politics life. And so it's like good for me to be here. You know, so I got my little 7-year-old. We get to go to the basketball court. We go out over to a friend's house. We go to a crawfish boil. Like life is good. You know, the Trump of it all is hanging over us, but not as heavily as elsewhere. And, you know, I don't know, man. Once I go up to Baton Rouge, though, for a football game, there's a lot of Trump stuff around. And then, you know, once I get outside of my IRL life and get onto the internet and get onto the YouTubes and start having to talk to people, it's bad out there. I think that we're going to go through a pretty rocky period for folks. And I think it's going to actually be worse than the first time around. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, that's why I've got my little bubble of vibes here, but that to try to keep sane. But besides that, I think it's going to be a little rocky. I don't know. What happened to y'all?
As the left is saying right now, you got to preserve and build your own community. You got to do it.
I'm out here community organizing. Me and Barack Obama. Who would have
I love that. Well, Sam, how are you doing today? You're in the studio.
I'm in the studio. I'm sipping hot tea and not coffee because I'm on the verge of getting sick, but I rebuke that. Not going to happen. I don't speak life to that. But my bigger vibe is I have had two conversations unexpectedly that I feel might show the way forward for Democrats between now and the midterms. On two separate occasions, I've either mentioned eggs or just been seen with a dozen eggs, and it's all anyone wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I was taping a podcast with our friend Lacey Mosley of Scam Goddess. I mentioned having scrambled eggs for breakfast. This led to a 5-minute discussion of, damn, how rich are you? And then I said, I scramble my eggs in bacon grease. And she was like, oh, 1%, bitch. But she wanted to talk about it and talk about the politics of it all, right? Then I'm in the grocery store the other day getting stuff. I got my eggs at the checkout line. The lady behind me is like, a dozen eggs, must be nice. Then the cashier starts talking about it. Then the guy in line behind the lady starts talking about it. Then we all start talking about the eggs and the price of eggs. And we're all looking at each other, deciding how much we can talk about politics. And then me, you know me, Zach, I'm a talk. We start talking about Trump and tariffs in the checkout line. And it made me say to myself,
this is not real.
I'm not even with you.
No, Tim.
I'm not
this is
with you.
This is Sam Sanders.
You're at the Piggly Wiggly.
Pavilions on Jefferson. Tariffs? Pavilions on Jefferson in Los Angeles. And then we just start talking about fucking eggs and like politics. And I was like, oh my God, why aren't Democrats talking about eggs every goddamn day?
Okay, so
why aren't Democrats talking about eggs every goddamn day?
Okay, so two things. One, I agree with you. We should talk more about eggs. I was in Utah recently. For like 10 days, I walked into a Target, saw that eggs were $12 in Utah and Payson, Utah. And I said, I get it. I too maybe would have considered Donald Trump in this moment if I lived in Payson, Utah. I would have been like, okay, what have the Democrats done for me lately? Not my scrambled eggs. But two, to Sam Sanders' talkative point, Tim, what you should know about Sam Sanders is that he will talk to anyone in public at length about anything and stay.
I'll cancel plans to talk to a stranger if it gets going. All this to say, I feel like Democrats are like lost right now, and we'll talk more about it. They don't have
about that. I want to focus on you for 1 second, though, because I feel like I'm in like the top 2% of for extroversion. I'm like very chatty. I love chatting with strangers. I like humans.
Yeah.
Like your story though feels insane to me. Like
it felt insane to me too, because I wasn't trying to talk to this woman.
I'm talking to somebody about tariffs in the like you managed to turn purchasing eggs into a tariff conversation,
she
right?
She looked at me
store, and then you canceled your plan. What?
I didn't cancel those plans, but I'm saying I would. All I'm saying is by the time I left that checkout line, we had mentioned politics briefly. And I'm just saying that like I want Democrats to think about.
Once you had your eggs, like once you had paid, did you continue the conversation
a little bit while she was ringing up?
While she was getting rung up, did you sit there and continue the conversation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boy, I fully believe this.
Inspired to. I thought I was friendly. That's another.
Here's my larger point. And this is like the vibe that I'm thinking about. It's like, how do Democrats find a way to talk about a thing that everyone is willing to engage in? Like that left, right, center, whatever. It's like, what is it? And I'm kind of like, is it just the freaking price of stuff? Is it the price of eggs, the price of groceries? I remember when I was a kid, whenever my mother wanted to just like shut down a conversation, she would just say, well, what does that have to do with the price of eggs? And she'd say it and you'd be like, oh yeah, you're right. I don't know. I'm stuck on the eggs this week. I'm rambling now, but I'm stuck on the fucking eggs. It's about people's money. Can we talk about fucking eggs? Can you get AOC in the Capitol Rotunda holding a dozen eggs?
Very carefully. You don't want to die.
Yeah, that would be a mess. In a lot of different ways.
I've rambled now. Zach, what is your vibe? Are you talking to strangers too?
Oh, wait. I have been talking to strangers. And that's what brings me to a point I want to tell Tim on the mic, which is a compliment. I, as people know, go on my morning walks. I get up really early. I walk. I listen to podcasts for the past week.
Get your Starbucks.
My Starbucks. Wow, expose me. I actually don't anymore. I used to, and I'm not even
lying.
Oh,
you had a Starbucks in the meeting yesterday.
Well, because, wow, we are really, yeah. So, one, I have gotten a pot. I don't know why Sam's coming at me so aggressively because he just talked about eggs. But 2 points, I did have a Starbucks yesterday because I was running late and had to go to Starbucks. Sorry about that. But I have, look at this cup. This is not a Starbucks cup. That's coffee. Because I've learned
That was not nice.
You're fine. You're fine.
Better than Starbucks.
You're fine. We have moved on. We have a pot that's beautiful. And now my partner makes coffee in the morning and it's wonderful. This is not the point. Okay. I was out for a walk the other day and I got stopped by some Vibe Check listeners. And they were like, oh my God, you're walking. What's up? We'd met at a live show. We're kicking. And I was listening to Tim Miller in my ear talking to Ezra Klein. And I was like giggling because I feel like you. Came at Ezra Klein in the funniest ways that just really cracked me
you
up.
You started out being like, I like your colleague better. I like the guy you work with better.
Like,
it's true. People need to neg Ezra, all right? This is the thing. I feel like it's my, I feel like in lib, my one thing that I can bring to my new friends now that, you know, I hang out with libs is like, libs are just so agreeable and nice all the time. And like, it's okay to just give somebody a little shit, you know?
I agree. Like, that's Ezra, why Sam.
Who gives Ezra shit? Nobody gives Ezra shit. It's always like, Ezra's so great. Ezra's so smart. Yes. Like, he deserves a
little
shit.
Can I tell you an Ezra secret? Well, I mean, not a secret for him. I know some folks who work at the New York Times and we gossip, all journalists gossip. And they call Ezra Klein's recent glow up. You know, the facial hair has changed. He's gotten a little, you know, more glamorous for the camera. He's a bigger star. They call his glow up getting Barbaro'd. He got Barbaro'd. That's what they say at the Times.
Wait.
That's breaking news. That is hilarious.
Yes.
That's amazing.
They're like, oh, yeah, he full Barbaro'd.
Well, he has gotten pretty hot. The new camera angles for his show, bravo. Production dollars well spent, everybody at the New York Times. But you were gagging me over how you were handling him. So I'm like giggling to myself walking. I get stopped by some Vibe Check listeners and I say, oh, I'm listening to Tim Miller and Ezra Klein in conversation. And I was like, oh, you know, he's going to be on our show this week, Tim Miller. And this one white woman goes, I won't say her name. She goes, I don't know who he is. Let me pull him up. And she opens up your podcast. She goes, oh, he's cute. You know me. I'd do anything for a white man. And I was like, what?
Was this a black woman?
No, it was a white woman. And I died. Like, she was like, I'm a basic
white girl.
A white woman
said, do anything for a white man.
I'm like paraphrasing. I may be embellishing that. But she was like, I love a basic, not a basic. She was like, I'm a basic white girl. I love a white man. So I was like, okay, girl,
Tim basic. What are you doing?
She did not, for the record, call Tim basic. She said he was very handsome. And I was like, oh, okay. She called herself basic. Anyway, so Tim, thank you for coming to the show. You must bring good energy because I'm getting stopped in the streets with people saying that you're so handsome. So
I will take it. I mean, you know, it would have been a little bit better of a story if you're like in West Hollywood and you're like, I was talking to this, 28-year-old post twink, and he was like, oh, he's so handsome. Like, that would have been like really a good story.
I
But hey, moms that think I'm handsome, we appreciate moms too.
You gotta get him. And she was in like our general age range, so she, like, if you decided to go back to being straight, she's available for
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's
as a
better.
possibility. But anyway, beyond that, I'm very excited for today and excited to jump in here. For those listening who are asking, where is Saeed Jones? Saeed Jones is at Harvard in conversation with Roxane Gay for the next few days, which you can watch live on Zoom, I believe. So Google that. I don't know where it's at. Yeah, I
this
know.
Is why
Super
we got
liberal elite.
You know, Harvard, Roxane Gay. Come on.
Won't even talk to Tim Miller. He's like, I'm not having that conversation. I'm going to Harvard. So no, he did want to be here today. He loves Tim Miller. So he will be back with us another time. And Saeed will be joining us.
I like him better than Ezra, too.
Before we get into this episode, we want to thank all of you who keep listening to this show each and every week. Thank you. Be sure to check us out on Amazon Music, where there are new episodes. And don't forget to email us anytime at vibecheck@stitcher.com. And if you want more of us, go to our pumpkin patch. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/vibecheck. For the last few days, I've been posting to the group chat in the Patreon my favorite obscure Prince tracks, demos, warm-ups, sound checks. We're going deep because the halftime show of this last few days has made me think a lot about Prince, who's had the greatest halftime show of all time. Remember him doing Purple Rain in the rain?
Come on.
Iconic. Iconic.
Not to make it about him. Let's move on from talking about a Prince to talking about a queen, Donald Trump. Shall we?
Who thinks he is a king? Look at that. Da, 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 da.
Look at us, Paul Redbull. Okay. Okay. With that, let's talk more about eggs. Let's jump in.
Let's do it. Ad break. Da, da, da. All right, listeners. First up, we're talking about the gays and Donald Trump. So we're diving. Let me do it again. So listeners, today we're diving into the alarming and escalating attacks on LGBTQ plus rights under Trump's second administration. So since returning to office, Trump has wasted no time in enacting policies that directly target our community, from reinstating the ban on transgender military service to removing federal funding for gender affirming care. His administration is systematically rolling back progress. He's even gone as far as issuing an executive order mandating that the federal government recognize only two sexes, erasing trans identity entirely and purging LGBTQ plus content from federal websites. These moves align disturbingly with the roadmap laid out by Project 2025, a conservative manifesto that aims to reshape America by dismantling hard-won rights. So, ladies, how did we get here? And Tim, I'm very interested in hearing how you talk about this because you've worked so much with the Republican Party and have seen how we've built a roadmap to this moment. So you go first. What do you think of this moment? Is it shocking? Is it more acute than the last time? How do you look at all of this?
Yeah. Oh, man. And there's a lot there. I forgot to mention the fact that he's renaming Queens also, New York. That's going to
wait. He is.
Wait, last I heard was Gulf of America or whatever.
Yeah, Gulf of America. And now Kings. That was just a bad joke.
Oh, my God.
I would have believed it, though. Given what this man has been doing, I would have believed it. I totally believed it.
Here's the thing. I think in this situation, it's important to really like disaggregate the attack on trans folks, because they're specifically trying to divide people in the LGBT community, and that's intentional.
And they've said so,
and it's working. One of the memos, this one is not a joke, was that I forget if it was State Department or which of the departments was going to, just put LGB.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. Like it's no, they're no longer writing LGBT when, you're talking about, when it's kind of relevant to whatever the directive is for the agency. So like they're saying this explicitly, they're trying to divide the community. The attacks are on trans folks, most overtly, particularly the military ban that you mentioned. And I think that this time they feel like they have the culture on their side, whether or not that's true, we can talk about, but I think that they are going to be more aggressive than they were the first term. I mean, you remember, it feels so long ago, but like there was a backlash against the Republican trans bathroom ban in North Carolina.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like they had to back off of it, right? Like,
well, because major sporting events said we won't go. Sports teams are like, you can't do this. And business stopped it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like PayPal.
Yeah, so they had a big, so they backed off of it. So, you know, I think that this time they feel like they have a lot more running room to do this. I think that in a lot of ways, the scariest stuff that's happening is probably going to be at the state level and local level because there won't be federal protections, right? Like, I don't, besides the stuff that you mentioned, I don't know that there's a lot of like proactive, like anti-LGBT legislation they're going to be doing, but there's not going to be, you know, look, the Pam Bondi Department of Justice is not going to be, you know, suing some company or some school district that discriminates, you know, on the basis of sex or gender identity. So like, there's not going to be a lot of protections for people that are attacked, that are particularly living in certain communities, red communities throughout the country. So like, I think that stuff is super scary. I do like sometimes have to tell like my, L and G buddies to like chill out a little bit. Like the concern for me is lower on, you know, things like them coming for Obergefell. You know, they passed recently the Defense of Marriage Act under Biden. That was one of Biden's accomplishments. I'm not saying it's a 0% chance they try to overturn Obergefell. Like, we've seen a lot of very unexpected things happening, but I think that is far lower on their priority list, in part because they are trying to appeal to the quote unquote normal gays and like wedge the trans community against them. So that's kind of my like assessment of the state of play.
I find it really interesting that you bring up the fact that there's like this divide and conquer amongst the alphabet people. There is a 2017 Family Research Council panel that had someone named Mel Kilgannon say back then, and this is in Vox quoted recently, she told this group of people gathered who were planning all of this stuff, she said, quote, "If you separate the T from the alphabet soup, we'll have more success." They were saying that back in 2017. And I keep thinking about what is different between targeting trans people now and targeting gay marriage during the era of George W. Bush. Something happened really quickly when we saw the drastic astronomical shift on a public opinion around queer people in those years. Everyone kind of realized that they knew someone gay, knew someone lesbian, and it was much harder to be mean to this group when you saw them in your neighborhoods, in your schools, et cetera. I think what the GOP knows this time is that trans people are 1% or less of the population, and that most people who are the loudest about trans people actually don't have experience with them. And that makes it easier for those messages to stick. And that worries me, and it makes me worry more this time than when I saw the attacks on queer marriage before. But I also wonder if any of this is actually working. You know, there was a lot of coverage about that Trump campaign ad in which a voice says, "Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you." The ad itself got a lot of play, but folks who studied the, you know, efficacy of the ad said it really didn't change people's minds about Harris. It distracted from other issues, but they did find that it increased viewers' negativity about trans people. And so I have this big question for Zach, for Tim, for all y'all. It's like, do they want to do this to actually demonize trans people? Do they want to do this to give the base what they want? Or are they doing this just to distract you from talking about the X?
I don't think this is a distraction. Go ahead, Zach.
Okay.
No, you go first. I want to hear you first because
I don't think this is a distraction. I think
Okay. Say
this is,
more.
I look, there's a lot of movement conservatives that are passionate about this issue. They've been talking about it for a long time. There are people, there are parents, and I'm not saying fair or unfair, right? But there are parents, I hear it just, you know, when I talked about getting out of Orleans Parish, going up to Baton Rouge, I sit here talking to some of my Baton Rouge parents' friends. You know, they have concerns that I think are crazy, but like about, oh, you know, in the schools, there's, you know, my kids want to, you know, are changing their pronouns and kids are going by different names and kids are identifying as cats. That one's not really true. You know, but there is, you know, that there's these things happening in schools that I don't like, that makes me scared, that I'm worried about. So I think that there's a real voter base who have concerns, you know, about gender identity stuff in schools. So no, man, I think that I don't think that this one is a distraction. I think that they are coming for the
They've
trans,
seen it.
they're coming on gender issues, and they're coming for kids. You know, I worry about, like, you know, look, I'm sure we'll talk about the normal gays that are for Trump. But most of these people aren't like, hey, most of these people don't have kids. And if they do, they are wealthy and they live in blue cities where their kids are not really going to be targeted. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Kids, in, if you are a gay couple and you live in Shreveport, right? Mm. And school starts making rules where like the teachers, you know, you can't talk, you know, the kid can't talk about their parents. The teacher mm-hmm. can't talk, you know, they can't do family trees. Who knows? Like all the don't say gay stuff, which is still, and I know people stop talking about that, but those
still happening.
Still in place in a lot of red states. They want to be able to do that. They want to erase LGBT people from the schools. They want to turn back the clock to a time where they felt more comfortable about the types of topics and materials that kids were talking about in schools. They want people mm-hmm. back in the closet, and they want to target trans people because they think it's politically effective and they're worried about what's happening with their kids. So I think that they are really serious.
So, okay. Yeah. So yeah. Follow up. Oh, go ahead, Zach.
You go follow up.
My immediate ask then, it's like, have you heard any Democrat anywhere in the country speak to this issue in a way that is helpful and possibly changes some of those minds?
Silence. I think that folks are trying. I'd have to like really like review everybody's everybody's statements.
And I ask this because it's like I will go home to Texas and I'll be around the same kind of parents briefly, then I leave, and I'm just like, what Democrat would they listen to on trans issues that might move them further away from the from being so negative about it? I don't know.
I don't know who either. I was talking to Colin Allred, who ran against Ted Cruz, and it ended up being a kind of bad year for him. If you're going to win as a Democrat in Texas, you need it to be a better year for Democrats. But I thought he was pretty compelling in talking about this. He talked about how that ad you referenced, he would hear from people, you know, in his district that he represented. He kind of represents this interesting district in suburban Dallas that like does have a big black population, but like also includes like George W. Bush lives there, right? Like, includes like some rich white neighborhoods too, because the way that they've gerrymandered the districts. And he said he talked to working class people that were worried that he was like, you know, for using their money to do reassignment surgeries for murdering illegal immigrants or whatever. And I think he had a pretty compelling way of just sort of talking about it like a dad who was a football player, who cares about his kids, who, you know, wants people to have basic rights and protections, is not for, you know, whatever insane, you know, far-right conspiracy is in vogue at the moment. But, like, you have to speak to it. I do think that the Democrats thought the right strategy during the campaign was just kind of ignore it and hope it goes away.
Mm-hmm. I don't that didn't really happen.
Work. Yeah. And to me, I just, look, I think that the military one, if a Democrat called me and asked me for advice on how to talk about this, mm-hmm. I would say, don't throw, you know, youth issues under the bus. Don't, sports, like, don't, you know, I'm not telling you to throw certain trans people under the bus. What I'm telling mm-hmm. you is focus on the military, though.
Yeah.
I think you can make a compelling message. It's like, this is bullshit. Like, these are patriots that are serving their country, that are putting their life on the line, and a fucking draft dodging queen in orange makeup is banning them, is kicking them out of the military, unemploying them. Fuck that. Fuck him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I would say there are ways to do that.
I agree with that so much. And when I was the editor-in-chief of The Advocate, you know, we do a lot of digital reporting. We did a lot, I feel like a lot more reporting back then just because of resources. And it was during Trump's last term. And I remember when we put out an article that listed the exact number of trans people that will be laid off from the military when Trump's ban came into effect. And it was technically the largest layoff of any trans person in the history of the world and one of the largest layoffs ever in American history. We saw such huge traffic there where people are like, oh, this is a labor issue. This is disrespecting patriots. This is, you know, just hurting humans that are there to protect us. And I do think that is a better avenue to take because the kids stuff, like I even heard people in my own family being like, kids in sports, wait, are they playing against girls? It becomes really complicated and people have a lot of feelings, nostalgic feelings about kids in sports, but the military and protecting freedom should be pretty cut and dry in how we feel and protect those people. And plus, you know, the messaging for the Republicans are off. Are trans people amazing at sports but bad at the military? Like, where do they dominate exactly? Because this is not making sense.
Yeah, well, and it's I'm so happy that you bring up the military angle, because before the first trans ban under Trump, the U.S. military was the largest employer of trans people in the country.
Yeah.
and they had integrated trans people into their workforce seamlessly. And so what Democrats could also say is, we already have a test case of what happens when you treat trans people fairly. This military you claim to love.
Yeah.
It worked, and it's been working quietly.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't do that. They don't do that.
They don't. And something, you know, we have to go to break soon, but something I want to ask you, Tim, specifically is this question around like the normal gays. So GQ released an article yesterday that profiled a bunch of the Republicans that voted for Trump, the so-called normal gays, to quote J.D. Vance's interview with Joe Rogan. And they're feeling great. They're feeling wonderful. They're feeling great, even though Trump is taking steps back on certain rights that do impact them. You know, with USAID, HIV research is impacted directly, which directly connects to gay men, pride flags, et cetera. But they're pretty like concrete in their stance around he loves us. He's the most gay president yet. However, to your similar point, Sam, we have a lot of decades of history that show Republicans don't like gay people at all. And these gays that voted for Trump have forgotten that even like 15 years ago, they were on a very different side of this. So why do you think they take such refuge in Trump? What is it about him specifically? Even though he is making attacks, they say this is our guy. He's protecting us.
Just worth saying, number one, well, basically every demographic voted for Trump more this time than last time. The gays and black women did not. Yeah. So, you know, hey, the gay, his message wasn't really resonating that well with gays, you know, based on the data. That said, the gays that did vote for him. To me, I think two things are happening. One is they really don't think that Trump is coming for them. They do think we're kind of at the end of history on gay marriage and gay rights. Mm-hmm. And I go every year to this Turning Point USA event to try to stay in touch with what MAGA World is
thoughts
thinking.
And prayers. Thank you for your service.
Happy to do it, man. And there's a group called Gays Against Groomers that was there a couple years ago. I went and talked to those guys, and I was just like, you know, they're younger.
Everyone there thinks they're the groomers.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, you're like, come on.
Yeah, they were younger. The whole group is ridiculous, and they're being used. And that was what I tried to tell them. I was like, you're being used. And, you know, I was trying to be like the older gay, you know, the elder gay. It's like, I don't think you're thinking about this. Like, I have a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, do you not think that the don't say gay stuff would come for your kids? Like, would it not bother you that a teacher would get in trouble if they talked about your family as it exists in a classroom with your kid? And like, they would think about it for a second, but, you know, can then kind of revert to their partisan, you know, lane. So I think part of this is just that they don't think that, you know, that there's going to be enough backsliding that they end up being targeted. And I think that's a mistaken deal. Yeah. But the other thing is, I do think that the wedging is working with the trans community. And there's a group of gays, the most generous way you could say it is that they're like, man, wait a minute. I like to wear my mom's heels when I was a kid, and bigots used to tell me I was a girl. And now there are all these whatever woke lefties that are telling a 6-year-old that wants to wear their mom's heels that he's a girl, and that's wrong. And like the generous way to interpret that I think is like, okay, like that's maybe a legitimate conversation that we could all have, but they get radicalized and they go start so far that like makes them hate trans people and hate trans activists. And they see Trump is on their side in a battle with the other members of the community. So that'd be like, we could do a whole hour on that, but that would be the simplest way to discuss it.
I agree. And, you know, we have to go to break, but before we go there, I want to give us a quote in my most liberal fashion which I'll do this. But in 1984, James Baldwin told Richard Goldstein in the Village Voice during an interview, he said, quote, "I think white gay people feel cheated because they were born, in principle, in a society in which they were supposed to be safe." And I feel like that quote always comes to mind when you say things like that, Tim, where it's like, you know, gay white men are like, I look at work like my fellow Republicans. I act, my life looks similar to theirs, but there's just one difference. Why should I be penalized for this one thing?
And I'm glad you said it, because as soon as you said some gays, it's like, oh, white gays. Yeah. This is mostly white gays who are doing this.
Sell out Rob Smith. Okay. Don't sell out Ross.
Controversial opinion. Rob Smith may be black, but you know, is it?
But I'm saying though, like this article you share, Zach, it's not all gays. It's mostly upper class white urban gays. And I think a lot about, you know, there's a choice we all make once we choose to be alphabet people. Well, we understand that our uniqueness is a gift and that we only are free if we stake out our freedom and difference? Or do we think if we're nice enough to the folks who oppressed us that they'll stop?
Yeah,
they'll never be that nice. And the same people who are now coming for trans rights, they were writing the laws against gay marriage 20 years ago. It's the same motherfuckers.
Yeah, same
This
people.
Is what the people at these parties don't get.
Yeah.
They're not changing.
What are we doing the Don't Say Gay bill for kids?
Like,
you know?
Literally. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, we have to go to break, but to save myself from my Rob Smith comment, I will just give another quote. Skin folk aren't kin folk. You know, not all black people are down for black people. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know, Google Rob Smith if you don't know who that is. With that, we're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned. Tim Miller said nothing. I said all of it. And we'll be right back with more Vibe Check.
<What's that? laughs> Joe, you don't know that cat? You don't know that cat, Sam Sanders?
I don't want to. What's his name? What's his name again?
Rob Smith.
Rob Smith, how do I gay black Republican? What does this do?
And he was like literally was at a Turning Point USA event. They were calling him the N-word and the F slur, and yeah. He still is for Trump.
Oh, keep it in, Chantel.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I will never trust a self-hating anything to lead a movement.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Self-hating gays, self-hating blacks. Actually, they're like Nazis. You can punch them. I'm sorry. Oh.
All right, we'll leave that in, Chantel. There we go.
Chantel. Check that out.
Don't you tell Chantel what to do, you interloper. You just got here.
All right. He's off screen when you're cutting that.
Tim's like, don't put my face in that. All right.
I'm on the Joy Reid show, and I'm just like, can I not be on screen when you guys are talking? I'm like, I'm like with you on like 75%
leave her
on
out of this. Not joy. Oh my God.
Like, sometimes she starts going to a place and I'm on screen. I'm like, am I supposed to do this? Like,
yeah.
Am I supposed to make a face so when it goes viral, people know that I was so on that point?
You got to make like an X with your arms.
Yeah, so I was like, man, when Zach was going after Rob, I was like,
yeah, no, no. We should create a sign for that where you could be like, not me. Like a sign language. All right. Well, Sam, okay. You got this next one.
Yeah. So this whole second segment, Tim, is all about just like, what the fuck is up with Democrats? Where are they? Why aren't they louder? How do they resist? And I just want to kind of hear you really strategize about if Democrats were like to get behind the message that works right now, what would it be and who would it be? That's
all
it.
All right. I have really strong thoughts on this. So and it starts with this.
Wait, I want to intro it first. We're not in there.
Right.
I was setting up for you. Sorry. That's on me. Thank you for your patience. Appreciate you.
I'm down the clown.
Love it.
All right, we are back. And now I want to talk about a topic that has really been grinding my gears since Trump took office again. And that is whatever the hell Democrats in D.C. are doing to push back against him. And by whatever, I mean to say it feels like nothing. So I'm really eager to talk about this with you, Tim, because a lot of your career has been thinking about pushback, thinking about strategy, not just for Democrats or resistors, but also for Republicans. You've thought about this a lot. It feels like we're in this moment where Democrats in Congress have a big chance to push back on everything Trump and Elon are doing right now for several reasons. Elon won no election. Donald Trump is still not approved of by a majority of the country. And the things that are on his agenda, most Americans actually say they don't really want that much. And yet, Democrats seem to be sitting this whole thing out. So to start, I just want to ask you both, Zach and Tim, is what I'm saying even fair to say about Democrats? Are Democrats actually just sitting on their hands, or is that just what I want to see?
Zach, you go first. Before I just
Yes. They're sitting on their hands and then like trying to walk into buildings and getting mad when they're not being let into said buildings because I think private security is blocking them. There's just a lot of yelling, but I've heard many people kind of throw up their hands and say, hey, what can we do? We don't have any power. We can't do much. And I'm confused because the Republicans didn't have a lot of power once, but they were able to build what we're currently living
so
in this
loud.
Hell. So I just feel like what's secretly happening, and some people have kind of mentioned this, is that they're wanting us to feel the pain of Trump. And the hope is that the pain will bring everyone back to the Democratic side for the next election, or at least the midterms. So I do see them kind of like watching it all happen, see how this is being deployed and trying to, and kind of strategizing in the background, but I'm not feeling a lot of support publicly personally. But Tim, I know you have a lot of big feelings.
I
on this.
Wish that
your face, happening. Your face has been like ready.
I wish that was happening, that they were, because that would actually be a strategy.
Yeah,
like letting Trump ruin things and then fighting back. I'd be okay with that. I mean, I don't think that the Democrats have the backbone for that, but I think that, you know, because it would take pain, right? Like people would be hurt, and Democrats tend to be earnest people that don't want their constituents to be hurt. So they're like, they will tend to want to stop, try to do what they can to stop the pain. So I don't actually think that's their strategy. I was on a panel with Carville recently, and he's like, you know, they might be doing a rope-a-dope. And I'm like, they're not doing a rope-a-dope. Like, this is like Mike Tyson punch out. Like, they're getting punched in the face over and over again. Here's the thing, man. We don't know what the midterms will look like. We don't know what the big issue is. If I was on Vibe Check February of 2021, I wouldn't have been like, we didn't, Roe hadn't even been overturned. Like, the whole contour of the midterm changed, right? Like, same 2 years before in COVID. And like you don't know what's going to happen, right? So a lot of times there's this like tendency among Democrats to be like, well, we should wait and we should just
Well, and then,
strategize and pivot.
yeah. But also, even when they wait, sometimes it doesn't work for them. I think they all were like, oh, well, Roe's going to win this election for us. Roe's going to win it for us.
Oh,
It
no.
didn't. So then, what do Democrats do? You say that we don't know what the midterm issues will be, but stuff's happening right now. What should, could, can they do, say now?
Full attack. Full fight. Everybody like down talks resistance 1.0, and I don't understand why, because it worked. Trump
I still think about them
Obama's
pussy hats. It latched to the brain. It
they
was
did.
powerful.
They didn't kill Obamacare. They lost the midterms. They lost to Biden. Like, it worked. I mean, you know, it obviously didn't work in the long term. It didn't, you know, resign Trump to the dustbin of history like we hope. But in the narrow political fights, like, the resistance actually worked. And here's the thing, man. People don't know, like, what is going to work. I guess that is my point. People don't know what the midterm thing is going to be. They should let a thousand flowers bloom. Like, if a Democrat called me and they said, "What should I attack on?" I would say, "What are you passionate about? What do people in your district and state care about? What can you go on social media and just rant about and break through to people, you know, that where people can see your authenticity, they can see your real anger, and you do that. Another Democrat can talk about something else. Another Democrat can talk about something else. Like, I fight, like, get off the mat and start punching this guy. Like, the idea that Trump or the Republicans are some strategic attack dogs. They attack everything. They're like, Joe
Yes,
Biden is sleepy. He
but
has
like,
dementia. Hunter
yeah.
Biden's
But
laptop.
here's my question for you though. As soon as I hear you say this, and this is for both of you, Zach and them, you're talking about like a divide and conquer strategy, whatever you think will work, just try it strategy. I think the GOP, especially the internet portions of the alt-right that were ascendant in the blogosphere, Reddit sphere, podcast sphere this last cycle, they were cool with that. Everyone just go your own way, fight towards the goal, towards the mission. But now I'll hear Democrats say in the aftermath of the election, well, who's going to be our Joe Rogan? How do we get media back? That approach shows me how you're going to fail.
Wait,
Because this
can we just
idea that the change will come top down, it's not a reality. Tim
can
is
I just can I just
seething.
also Sam's having a big moment. I want him to have that big moment, but I just want it for context for people listening. The three of us plus Ezra Klein plus Favreau, I think Favreau or Tommy Vietor, et cetera, were in the article in the Wall Street Journal about who's going to be the next Joe Rogan. So the irony of you bringing this up, I think it's maybe Tim Miller. I don't know.
Maybe it's
But I have this big question about whether Democrats or whether the left understands the importance and power of just being legion. I constantly think about a sacred text for me, Sarah Schulman's book, Let the Record Show, all about AIDS activism and the ACT UP movement in the 80s. And their whole thing was, we will never tell you what to do. If you're on our side and have a good idea, you go do that over there. You want to sit in, you do a sit in. You want to write letters, you write letters. But like, as long as you're doing something, do it. And I think there's this democratic opposition to that idea right now because they're waiting for someone to be in charge. You might
I
not get
gotcha.
someone in charge between now and midterms, but like, do something. Can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, I
They
like
don't
that.
do it though, but like you
They
say, yeah,
don't. Like, this is
can
the
they?
part that's not that hard. So here's the thing that bugs me about all this, right? Is it's like you also have to go out there. Like, when you talk about trying new things and doing new things, like, not within the rubric of typical Democratic shit. Like, this is my problem with that Joe Rogan article you mentioned. It's like, oh, it's Zach and it's Pond Save America and it's Tim and it's like,
I'm in a bubble. I'm a liberal media elite.
damn, it's like,
Literally.
we have great listeners. I love and appreciate our listeners and viewers. The people that listen to me pay attention to the news at a very deep level. Like they know who the players are. Yes. They know the rules. Like they care. The Democrats aren't struggling with those people. I mentioned earlier that the groups the Democrats did well with, gays and black women. Here's another group. People that pay attention to the news and read newspapers. They did great with those people. They did terrible with people that don't pay attention to the news that much, right? And so to go out and get your own Joe Rogan, it's like I was at some stupid Democratic conference where you'd heard a lot of people that were like, we need to create our own person, like you're saying, like top down or bottom, like we need to create somebody. And it's like, no, man, you got to go into those spaces and like communicate with people. Like Joe Rogan and Theo Von and these guys, like they're not Republican hack activists that talk about the news all the time. Like Theo Von, like mostly like makes dick jokes and like talks about fucking MMA and like sometimes talk about politics, right? You got to get back into the culture and like engage with people outside of our little bubbles. And so this is maybe my one disagreement with you, Sam, on the eggs thing. Dems should go on the floor and talk about eggs. Totally. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Dems should pivot the message to eggs. Dem congressmen, when they're in their district, should point to the grocery aisle and do a little thing with the newspaper. But they also got to go engage on the cultural stuff. It drives me insane when I hear people like say, oh, that's bait. You can't talk about the Trump. You know, if Trump wants to talk about Greenland or Gulf of America or Gaza or whatever, that's bait. You got to ignore that. You got to go back to eggs. No.
Gaza's not bait. Gaza's real.
Dude, this shit is all real. Like, I'm sorry. What do you think the people that watch Theo Von's podcast have heard about so far in this administration? It's not the fucking inspectors general. It's not the tariffs. Like, they've heard about Gaza and Gulf of America and the crazy shit that he does. So you got to go engage on that turf. So, man, that's like my thing. That's what I'm begging Democrats to do is like do the eggs, but also do other shit. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, personally, agree so much with Tim saying what you're saying, Sam. I think they got to find the thing that activates communities. You know, we talk a lot on our show, and I talk about a lot, signals versus noises with Trump. Like, he makes a lot of noise, but what in all that noise is a signal of something that he could actually maybe make come to life? And how do you, as someone in this country, latch onto a signal that makes you wake up? Because I think right now people are feeling flooded, as Steve Bannon keeps pushing us all to believe he is, flooding the zone with all this information. And I think people still know what they care about. You know, eggs, to your point, Sam, that makes some people light up. So if eggs is your thing, then figure out a way to actually rally around that and get people activated around that. But I do think Democrats should be, they're feeling really terrified of, I think, the 2020 election cycle. Which like we were all a part of in our own way, you know, and I was one of the journalists on stage with the Democrats running for president, asking them very specific questions about queer rights, around trans people in prisons, et cetera, that now have kind of had a big long tail on them. And now it's kind of become this very nuclear issue. Yeah, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I was asking the questions that matter. We had a lot of people on stage. I had like 20 people. We had to find something to talk about. Dude, and it didn't matter.
People tell me it's my fault because I was a Republican 100 years ago. So I'm just trying to share the blame.
Oh, please.
I take the blame. I'm just trying to chunk it out a little bit.
Chunk it out. I get that's why I don't look at Twitter, because people will bring back old tweets of mine where I've like published an op-ed from Nancy Pelosi about something and they're like, this was your fault. And I'm like, maybe, potentially, I don't know. We've learned. But I do think we need to return to like testing the field, testing messages, figuring out something that really makes people come alive. Because right now, everyone I'm speaking to is feeling so numb and turned off by it all. Like the most elite thinkers are like, what can I do besides think of moving to Canada or Amsterdam? Right. And so they just need something to excite them again. And the Democrats are not doing that at all.
I also think that...
Can we just do noise too? Like, can we signal and noise? Like, because I think the Democrats are pretty good at being like, we should find the signal, we should find the thing, we should focus on this issue. But the Republicans are doing mostly noise.
They do a lot of noise.
No, the perfect noise moment in the campaign, as soon as Donald Trump went to McDonald's, my first thought was like, oh, Kamala, go too. Go to McDonald's.
I did think that too.
Give some more noise.
Mother Harris, go back to your job. Yeah. Go do those fries. Like, you better fry some
French
fries.
How can they do the noise? And also, when I think about how to talk about these things, whether you're talking about trans rights or eggs, everything you're saying, Democrats, whether it's signal or noise, say it with your full fucking chest.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a thing that I noticed with Democrats right now? And it was happening a lot, even with folks like Allred before the election. They'd want to say when the GOP was being anti-queer, anti-trans, well, we're pro-queer people, pro-trans people, but they were timid about it. Well, be there for them or don't. In the same way that, like, Democrats, a lot of moderate Democrats were like, waffly on abortion rights. Well, you know, I'm religious and I think this and blah, 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 blah. No, just say you're for it.
Yeah.
Say you're for it. I think that there is like an inability of Democrats to actually forcefully say to the GOP, no. And I think every time that they engage with conservatives, especially over trans issues, and don't just say unequivocally, this is what we believe, they cede ground to the left. Mm-hmm. I'm the right on trans issues. If you keep letting the right suck you into a debate over trans rights, they get more ground. You got to just like be fucking clear with your whole chest, and they're not doing that.
Yeah.
Work assignment? Can I give you guys a homework assignment? Can you
put
them on and can we deprogram them? And this is like the thing that's my issue, man. Like, I say anything with your whole chest. Just talk to me. Like, just talk to me. You know, like, obviously, like, AOC is not exactly my kind of Democrat, but like, at
least she's my kind. I watch her Instagram lives. I love her.
I watch her cook, I watch her do the makeup, all of it. Sometimes she does stuff that makes me roll my eyes and whatever, but like, okay, that's fine. Like, at least she's just being her.
And
so many of these people are not. Like have been trained for like decades that to like rise through the ranks in Democratic politics, you have to be the person that is good on message and that gets A's on your report card and that does your homework. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they need a few more people that like can just vibe out with you guys. And like, I don't know how to deprogram.
Well, it's two things. Go ahead, Zach.
You know, I agree so much. I wish they would vibe out with us more. And we've been asking, you know, I won't say names, but we've been begging
to book people on this show.
We've been trying to get people to come on, but they don't want to vibe out. But one day some of them will. But for me, you know, Trump, what is really incredible about him as a politician is he's willing to dream aloud without a filter. Like he says, why shouldn't it be the Gulf of America? Why not? He's just willing to imagine these futures, which I find terrifying, but he does it and it helps him figure out what sticks to the wall and then policy follows that. So Democrats do zero dreaming. I've heard nothing big come out of them in a long time. And that's why I always come back to this. I know people have a lot of feelings about defund the police and how it was message marketed, et cetera. I loved it so much because it made us all think about what do police do? How is money spent? What could it, what would the world look like without police? Oh God, is that scary? Is that terrifying? Or is that exciting?
And I think move the Overton window.
Yeah, I think we need bigger dreams to see what reality falls from those dreams. That's my thing. And the Democrats are not dreaming. They're just like not even.
Now you have me a little nervous a little bit, though, that Democrats are going to take my advice and they're going to start dreaming publicly and start being real. And they're going to say shit that like I find really dumb. And then I'm going
to listen. There's a good and bad to everything, Tim.
Wait a minute. When I told you to dream big, I didn't mean that dream.
You're like, it's too big. Wrong dream. Different dream. We'll figure out the right dream, Tim. We'll figure out the right dream.
At least talk to me like a regular person.
Well, and speaking of like talk to folks like a regular person, there's also this other thing I see happening amongst the left and people I know. Tell me about this phenomenon with pride. Well, you know, there was that member of my family who's like way too conservative. So I just cut them off and I don't talk to them anymore. And I'm like, all right, you can, but it's not like they're going to listen to Vibe Check instead. It's not like they're going to like come find the left because the person in their family who could talk to them stopped.
No, Tim, Sam, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go listen to Tim at the Bulwark and then they're going to hear your voice and that's what they're going to come back
to. I hope so.
That's what happens.
But I also think that like what has to happen is that like there has to be a willingness for the left and for Democrats to engage with and take seriously people they maybe kind of hate.
Yeah.
People they maybe kind of hate. And as soon as I say it, people get mad about that, but that's how I feel. Go ahead, Tim. Your arms went up.
I mean, I would almost say, can we do a step before that, which is like maybe people that you think like might be a little bit bad. Because like, guess
what? Or like dumber than you.
Yeah. We're
all. Maybe they're dumber than you, but they're still a vote.
Yeah.
They're still a vote. Or
dumber than you. Yeah. Dumber than you would be a great first start. But then you move there to dumber than you, but kind of bad. Because like we're all kind of bad. I just like this is the part I hate the most about the left. Like we all fuck up. Like we all miss like, this idea that you
used to be a Republican.
I used to be a Republican, man. Some people didn't listen. Some people didn't download this because of that. There, you have like eight listeners who are like, I'm not going to download that. I don't know.
And like, stop.
Fine. But like Theo, Theo Vaughn is my Louisiana boy, so I like to bring him up as an example. Man, this guy, like, he probably makes a couple off-color jokes that you might not like. He has a couple of views about immigration you probably don't like, but like he's just a guy and he's he isn't that smart. He's funny, like he's savvy, and he like doesn't have, he's not like a religious conservative. He doesn't hate gay people. He doesn't hate black people. Like, he doesn't, like, he's just a fucking dude. He's just a dude that has a mix of views that doesn't pay that close of attention to the news. And if, like, a cool Democrat went and sat down with him and, like, and found a few issues of commonality,
well,
like, he would be for that guy.
This
like,
is the thing. It's
not
even
Matt Walsh, you know?
No, like,
start with that.
It's not even just Theo Vaughn. Like, I am literally, I'm a liberal media elite who lives in Los Angeles, who is black and also gay. And I will have some conversations with folks who are progressive, and I feel like they want to kick me out of the room. And I'm
they
like,
probably do.
What?
They probably do.
I'm trying here. There is this, I hate to say purity test because it's been a word that's been used a lot, but like the purity test of it all is just killing me. Zach, what are your final thoughts on this?
We're being yelled at, tempted rap right now. So I agree. I think we should have more hard conversations, and I think people should say what they actually want. I'm tired of like this kind of like winking, not doing anything mentality the Democrats have. I'm just like, do something, offend me, but do something. I don't care anymore. Like things are a bit too dire.
Yeah. And when in doubt, talk about the fucking eggs. I'm telling you, bitch. I'm talking about eggs. I go.
I will say my only thing about
that's what I'm saying. You found your passion.
I'm eggs, baby.
Eggs. It's eggs. Yeah. If you're a Democratic congressperson, find your passion. Maybe it'll
my
be
my drag
eggs.
Name is frittata.
Maybe you and Sam can do a frittata Instagram live together. If your passion is something else, then talk about that.
Oh God, my drag name is frittata.
My drag name is frittata.
We have to stop
wrap.
There.
All right.
We
speaking of, there. I asked you at the beginning, Tim, to think of a drag name for Donald Trump. We're at the end of the show, just about. Come on.
I feel like it has Zach's to be a pun on John. You know, like it has to be something about how. You know, his middle name. I don't know. I'm not good at drag names. Why?
We'll come back to it. Zach's going to pick the one.
I'm trying to type some up to see what. I don't know. There's like MAGA. I mean, I don't know. Can we do this in a bit? Let's come back.
At the end. All right.
Orangina something?
We'll save it, but we're going to come back to it. All right. And we'll keep the next segment short. All right. Time for a break. When we come back, we're going to totally cleanse the palate with some recommendations to help keep your vibe right. Stay with us.
I was like typing. I thought I had.
Sorry, I'm like totally derailing y'all with this.
You're fine. So Tim, this next part, just 5 minutes. Do you have a rec in mind? You don't have to tell me yet.
I can prepare.
You can prepare. Perfect. So we'll start with you. We'll go to Sam, and then I'll go last.
Professional podcaster.
We love this. All right. All right, listeners, we're back. And before we end the show, we'd each like to share something that's helping us keep our vibes right this week. So Tim Miller, what is your vibe rec for the week?
Keep my vibe right. I'm going to Coachella.
Oh, you are? Because of Gaga or someone else?
Yeah. I mean, because
are you doing VIP Coachella or like in the streets in the mud with Coachella?
Coachella, same. I'm 42. I'm 43 now. I feel what age I am. I'm in my 40s. I'm doing VIP Coachella. I'm not in the fucking
okay.
mud. I didn't see Sweat Tour, so I wanted to see Charlie Gaga. But here's the thing. Like, I have been using it as a music discovery tool. Right, like checking out the other acts, right, and you know, giving myself a little something for my walks that is different than podcasts about Donald Trump. So, checking out like Polo and Pan and Artemis. I've been getting back into my girl Amare.
She's good.
Amare is amazing. Good. That's good taste.
So I've been checking out the kind of bands I don't know on the Coachella list. That's what's keeping my vibe.
I love that. Sam, are you gonna go to Coachella?
I have never been, and I don't think I ever will. I've aged out. I'm too old for that. I also,
It's so fun. It's so fun.
It's fun if you're on the party drugs, and I cannot do party drugs around strangers. I can't.
I think you could have fun without party drugs at Coachella. I believe
it'd be funner with.
I think you should go with Tim. I'll consider. Let us know when you go, and maybe we'll all go together.
If he can give me a VIP Coachella pass, can you give me a pass, Tim?
Yeah, well, no, I paid for it. Like, I paid for it.
You didn't get a hookup. You're liberal media elite, my dude.
I don't know. I have no hookup. I just fucking.
Zach has a hookup.
And they're like 18 layers of VIP. So I'm just like normal, regular guy VIP. You should come.
I guarantee you right now that Zach knows somebody.
We can talk about it later. I'm not saying it all.
Zach, you're getting me up to VB. Get me up into VB. Because being in B is nice, but getting in VV is real nice.
So for those that care about this very liberal LA conversation, the top tier that you want is artist pass, which gets you a golf cart that you get to ride around because that's what the artists ride in. So that's
Zach,
like the top tier.
Look
I have
me
never
in the
done
face.
It. I have
look
never
me in the
done
face,
it.
Though. If you Zach, look me in the face.
Okay.
If you know someone who has access to artist past giving away, don't blink.
Sorry. I don't. No one knows what I did. We're moving on. We're moving on.
Leave it in Chantel.
I'll text you offline. I'll see you.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay. God, that was terrifying. Sam, what's your vibe wreck of the week?
My vibe wreck of the week was that last 30 seconds.
I'm terrified.
I love you, Zach. Okay. My recommendation this week. I have been in awards season mode on this show and my other show, and I've been talking about Grammys, Oscars, everything. And that means I've been thinking a lot about what has been the best art of the last year, specifically with film. I think I can say definitively with pride now, I've watched all the Oscar contenders. The best movie of that last year is Nickel Boys, and everyone needs to go watch it. It is visually stunning in a way I didn't think possible. It has moments that truly rip your heart out of your chest. I think Anjanae Ellis Taylor deserves 3 Oscars by now. And this is just a feat of filmmaking. It's a feat of filmmaking. I think everyone should see it. And I'm mad knowing that it is a contender for Best Picture, but it probably won't win. No. If you want more of me being mad after you watch Nickel Boys, go to my other show, The Sam Sanders Show, and I have an episode all about why I think the Oscars shouldn't exist. But before you check that out, please go watch Nickel Boys. Zach has a connection. We both do. We have a friend who was part of the team making this movie.
We do. We know a lot of people over there. Yeah. And Sam, I saw your hot take on there should be no award shows. And I have a question. Why don't you want a job anymore? Because that's what half of your show consists of, is talking about award shows. True. Why do you want to
get a job anymore? Because I'm ready to be a kept woman. It's time.
Okay. I see that future. That's why you go to Coachella with Tim. We find you that man.
Oh.
Okay. That's what's going to happen.
You land in planes.
I'm a learning day, so I read Nickel Boys, but I haven't watched it yet. So, still worth it.
It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. It's Ramel Ross directed, who was a documentary filmmaker before. It's incredible. It's a feat. It's a lot, though. It is a lot to watch.
I know. Oh, we love Coulson.
Oh, yeah. You know how it goes. Well, my rec for the week is another movie, but different than Sam's. It's called Companion. It's directed by Drew Hancock. Yes, it's wonderful. It's perfect for our chat because it is a kind of sleeper incel movie. It's about a guy and a girl go away for the weekend and some deaths start happening and people aren't who you think they are. And it really shocked me. So it's best to go in not knowing anything about the film, but it's a film that's very much about like a not too distant future where Elon Musk robots are in our lives and what happens next.
And it has a good Nepo baby in there. The Quaid, what's his name?
It does, Jack Quaid. Yeah, who I always think is Tom Hanks' son for some reason. I don't know why.
Confusing. Andy Quaid's kid?
Yeah.
One of the Quaid's kids.
Dennis Quaid or Randy? Dennis.
It's Dennis. Let's see. Dennis Quaid's.
Well, you look that up. I've got one more for you guys. I don't know if this quite qualifies as a vibe, but since we're together, I felt like, I don't know about you, but I'm reading like for every serious book I read, I'm reading one trashy gay book.
Oh.
What I'm reading right now is called The Sluts by Dennis Cooper.
Okay.
It is about like early days like Craigslist message board drama.
Oh,
it's
I love
fucking
this.
Raunchy though. It is like you gotta really I mean it is like
a 2004 epistolary novel. Okay.
I love this. Wait, Tim, are you the type of gay that loved eating out those movies?
Girl, I thought you were talking
Jasmine's?
So you said eating out.
Oh my God. No, I'm eating the movies.
I did not do the eating out movies.
You should watch the eating out movies. They're great. They're kind of a similar trashy series from the late 90s, early 2000s. But you should watch that.
Are you a gay who likes eating out?
Eating out. You like...
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Well, I'm going to read that. I love a trashy gay thing. I famously love to rewatch Queer as Folk once a year as my trashy gay. Same. Like problematic, but still, you know, that's my type of problematic.
I mean, you know, there are some borderline choices in the show.
Oh, yeah. There's also no black people. How? There's literally no person of color in the whole the whole show. Like, God, there's
I'm
truly
such a
not
privileged
one.
White gay. You know, I'm such a privileged white, normal gay. Mac.
You're
gay.
Just a normal gay. You and J.D. Vance hanging out.
A therapist would say none of us should use the word normal. Because what even is that?
Well, we were making fun.
I know.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
Chantel was like, "If I don't get the hell out of the studio."
Chantel's like, "Y'all got to
shut the hell up. I've got 30 more minutes of material."
we're aware.
All right. With that, listeners, what are you feeling or not feeling this week? Are you reading gay slutty books like Tim? Are you going to Coachella? Let us know at vibecheck@stitcher.com. And with that, that's our show. Thank you, Tim Miller, for being here today. This was so fun.
Tim, thank you so much for being here. You came in to the Kiki right on time. You're one of us. You just seamlessly wormed your way into our hearts. Come
lady.
Back. Seriously.
A real lady.
Appreciate you. Yes.
It was
yes.
a joy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Listeners, thank you for checking out this week's episode of Vibe Check. If you love the show and want to support us, please make sure to follow this show on your favorite podcast listening platform and tell a friend. I said it already, but I'll say it again. Thanks to our very special guest, Tim Miller, for joining us today. It's an honor, and I think I want to get some pearls now because they look good on you. I like
they
that.
Do.
I like
good
that.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah. Huge thanks to our producer, Chantel Holder, our executive producers, Camille Stanley from SiriusXM, and Brandon Sharp from Agenda. Thanks to Marcus Holm for our theme music and sound design. Also, shout out to our intern, Julia Leo, and Aisha Ayub, who creates our social content.
And as always, we want to hear from you. So don't forget, you can email us at vibecheck@stitcher.com and keep in touch with us on Instagram on our page at vibecheck_pod. And for direct access to our group chat, you can join our Patreon for just $5 a month at patreon.com/vibecheck. Also, vibecheck. Yeah, see, great deal. $5. You can text Sam Sanders direct. Yeah. Also, Vibecheck listeners can now get a free 3-month trial on the SiriusXM app by going to SiriusXM.com/vibecheck. Again, that's SiriusXM.com/vibecheck. Stay tuned for another episode next week with Saeed Jones back. Until then, goodbye, ladies. Enjoy.
I got it. To close, wait, hold on. When we hang out in New Orleans, Tim Miller, we're going to have a small talk stroll. We're going to walk around that city with some hurricanes or daiquiris.
Purple drink.
See how we can small talk. Purple drink? Not codeine.
Trying to talk to people?
Yeah. That's the drink. That's the frozen drink to do.
Okay. We're going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to see how long we can talk to strangers. That's
our job. Oh, God. Go to a gay bar for this so you can find husbands, both of you. This is what I suggest. So.
We love it.
All right. Thank you so much, y'all. Bye.